want to thank Deacon Burnett for leading us in prayer, for the Voices of Praise leading us in the ministry of music, and for Deacon Taylor reading the scripture for us. You know, it's so important that scripture be read aloud. It's just something about hearing it in somebody else's voices, and sometimes you may notice just while the choir is singing, you see me go over and make a little bit of note because I heard something when it was read by somebody else. So, you know, just don't sit there and read it, because sometimes we, you know, read it with our eyes and we skip lines and everything. But when we read it aloud, sometimes we hear God even speaking into our spirits. I want to tag that text, "Time to Make a Decision." Time to make a decision. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that by technology we can gather, we can worship, and we can praise you together, not only in this area, but all over the whole wide world. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for the songs. But now comes the preaching moment. And I ask you, O God, to use me as only you can use me. But I'm a sinner just like all of us, sinners saved by grace. Destruction is in me. Destruction speaks into my life. But I ask you right now for about a half an hour, Lord, to remove whatever is destructive in my spirit so that I might preach your holy word. And then, O Lord, I ask you to give me the strength. The strength to do what you need me to do one more time. And because you've done it before, I know you can do it again. And so I give you all honor, all glory, and praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Time to make a decision. Many might say, Pastor, this is time for the sermon. Not for the invitation, but we've made a decision to follow Jesus. However, I have to ask you the question this morning. If you say you have made that decision, what difference has it made in your life? For the decision to follow Jesus doesn't mean just coming to church when you feel like it. Decision to follow Jesus doesn't mean just wearing a cross as a piece of jewelry, carrying around a big Bible or having one in a prominent place in your home is not enough. But just as there are some who call themselves who use Christians who use Jesus as a prophet, got to me this week some of the statements by the sons of the Confederacy when they took that statue of Stonewall Jackson down. We just don't understand when he or other Confederate did what was wrong. Well, these men fought to keep their neighbors enslaved in a form of slavery that had never been seen before. And for those of us who want to accept the narrative or refuse to acknowledge what those symbols have done, you need to read a few books. You need to watch a few documentaries. You need to read all four gospels, for our educational and our religious institution just got to tell it like it is. They've lied to us for over 1,000 years. But as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, a lie cannot live forever. See, it's time for all of the lies that have kept us from being the people God wants us to be to die. Even though on Friday nights, you know, people got up there and said, you know, well, let's just say it like it is. The old national television, the old all the news got up there and said, they trying to destroy our history. No, we just trying to get the lies straight. Because we that there was genocide against Native American people. We were enslaved, killed, raped, and everything hung from the tree, just like Jesus was lynched. And we got to start by learning the stories that for so long we're not told. I'm loving just reading things down that people are writing down, going back and discovering in archives. See, for just as Christianity has been used as a prop to prop up a whole lot of evil things, too many of us carry that Bible, just got it sitting on the table. We just as guilty as 45 is of using the Bible as a prop. It's just that none of us use tear gas and rubber bullets to have that football. But if the Bible is just sitting there on your table, it's a prop. Open up that book, read that book, reflect on what the Word said, and then let the Spirit of God make a change in your life. But when you make a decision to follow Jesus, it's an admission that your life is not what it should be, and that by deciding to follow Jesus, you're going to be different. Oh, I hate to say it this morning, but I got to tell the truth and shame the devil. The worst hurts in my life have been inflicted on me by people who say they love God. And what makes it hurt more was other Christians watched and said nothing. And then when the authority figures left, when the folks with the big mouths left, only then did other people open up their mouths. Remind me when I had the pharmacy, you know, I had some drivers that were excellent and some that weren't so good. And the thing is, they let the no good drivers get away. And in time I found somebody said, I sure am glad you fired him because he was terrible. See, as Christians, we got to do the same thing when we see other folks that call themselves Christians doing the wrong thing. We got to call them out for what they are. I don't care what kind of power or position they have in the church. See, but then, that's why I love the people I pastor today. I love y'all, New Hope Fellowship. But y'all stood with me in a bad situation. And see, that's what following Jesus will cause you to do. And I said, thank you, New Hope Fellowship, for making the decision to follow Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit make you better before New Hope Fellowship even came into existence. And in our text this morning, that's just one of the things Jesus is talking about. Jesus is expressing frustration he's having with people. People who claim they know God and at the same time giving encouragement to the Lord. And that's why the older I got, I started having a problem with silk stocking black churches. Yes, I grew up in one. Black churches with nothing but professional people who had forgotten where they had come from. Or black churches in communities where there were not many. However, the few and their friends got together and set the agenda. If you look at scripture, you always find Jesus with the poor and the left out. And as we enter the text, Jesus speaks to the irony of people's actions. Have you ever noticed how people like things when some people do it and then condemn the same thing when other people do it? Or just look at our political system. For 8 years, you can't spend. The deficit is dangerous. We got to cut it. In fact, they even passed a law that required spending cuts. However, when the political landscape changed, the people who said spending needed to be under control, they've given us the greatest deficit that we've ever seen. And it ain't benefited people that look like you and me either. And that gets to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is comparing things to the generation that was there when he walked this earth. However, we can put the same statement of Jesus to the people of the day. But of all the children, the choir can sing, our God is awesome. Or every praise is to our God. And some folk won't raise their hand. Some folk won't rock. Some don't want to stand to their feet. But switch up and sing a sad song. Or we don't sing them up in here. A lot of people bring them up Mother or Father's Day. All they want to do is see somebody cry. But seeing one of them, and some of those that refuse to rejoice, they refuse to mourn. See, I know there are some folks with no emotional feelings. However, most of us are on either end of the emotional spectrum. It's an irony, even when it comes to Jesus. And see, that's why I had to preach that series, Rediscovering Jesus. And I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the pastor said he preached a series, That Ain't My Jesus. See, but we've gotten the sanitized version of Jesus, the uncontroversial Jesus, the Jesus who has been treated and lighting up with both Nat Noah and black and white preaching cream. See, most of us won't admit how that historical, incorrect picture of Jesus has messed us up, but we want to be like that Jesus, have the same power as those who look like that Jesus have. And I got to just be honest, when I was a little boy, I would take a bath almost every day. It won't that I've gotten dirty. As a little boy, I'd get in the tub and I'd try to scrub that blackness off of me. See, that's self-hate because I didn't know who the real Jesus was. But then check out, folks, when it comes to Jesus and John. John came neither eating or drinking, and they said, he got a demon. Yet the human one, I'm talking about Jesus, came eating and drinking. And look how they contrasted Jesus and John. They said, look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. See, that lets me know as Christians, we need to stop, should be trying to bring a change into the lives of others instead of looking down our nose at other folks. Because see, all of us have our use to bees, and for some, our wings and halos are only reserved for Sunday mornings. I know what Jesus was going through. But when I started talking to everybody instead of talking to a certain few, I was going, you're not talking to anybody. Oh, that could have had a whole lot of meekness. But see, when you haven't made a decision, truly made that decision to follow Jesus, when you let other people tell you what the Bible says, strange things come out of your mouth because of the lack of wisdom. And see, wisdom isn't just knowing what's in the book. Wisdom is understanding what's in the book. And see, that's why we teach Bible study the way we teach it, see. Because I had to call on God to help me with the next few verses. And that's why I'm so glad that God takes the time to talk to me. Amen. I ain't going to be like Richard Pryor, though. Talk to me, I talk to God. No. Because see, God will do the same thing for you. And see, pastors and preachers don't have a monopoly when it comes to talking to God. But I'm so glad that after I had that conversation, I discovered what this part of the text was trying to say. We need to appreciate the presence of Jesus. One question Wednesday night in Bible study was, when do you feel the presence of Jesus? And if you feel Jesus, and if Jesus is in your neighborhood, even if he's blessing somebody else, you need to appreciate the presence of Jesus. And see, that's the exact opposite of what many people in the text have done. Jesus was in their presence, and they took the presence of Jesus for granted. Some even felt, I'm special because I'm in the presence of Jesus. However, Jesus began to storm the cities where he had done great miracles. But not only those cities, but in our lives. In fact, God has done some miraculous things right here at New Hope Fellowship. And I'm praying that God will never have to scold us. God scolded them because they didn't change their hearts and lives. And my brothers and my sisters, that is what Christianity is all about. Changing our hearts and minds for better. So that our lives would be alight. And others would want to have what we have. To get to me, people people want to have laws passed to make people act the way they want to act. And at the same time, condemn them to hell right while they're here on earth. Well, I never remember Jesus making anybody do anything. The only thing Jesus commanded us to do was love, and he gave us this warning. If we don't change our hearts and our minds, we would die. And don't think for a moment that racism is the only thing that Christians need to change about their hearts. We need to change the way many treat women. Oh, you see why I laughed at this morning coming down the road. We need to stop supporting economic systems that oppress so many. We need to take better care of God's creation. As Marvin Gaye said, that's the way you save the babies. Jesus calls out cities in Galilee, cities where people claim to know God. Chorazin and Bethsaida, Bethsaida, which was Jesus' base of operation. Jesus said, woe unto both, and compared them to Tyre and Sidon, cities where people didn't even know God. Listen to what Jesus is saying. For if the miracles done among those two cities that claimed they knew God, if those miracles had been done in Tyre and Sidon, cities that refused to acknowledge who God is, Jesus said that rather than do like the people who claim to know God did, the people that many of us would call pagans, they would have changed their hearts and their lives. They would have done what Jewish folks normally do when they confess their wrong. They would have put on funeral clothes and ashes a long time ago. Yet today, there are people who have truly refused to make that decision because they have failed to acknowledge the presence of God, of Jesus, when he shows up, and there's no shame in that day. I'm not just going to remind you of what Jesus said, how terrible it will be for you. It gets to me how some people can take for granted the wonderful and the powerful things that Jesus had done for them. However, if you've taken for granted anything that Jesus has ever done for you, but didn't he wake you up this morning? Doesn't he put food on your table? Does he heal your body like he's healed mine? Open up doors, save your soul, and made you whole. It's right in front of you in verse 24. It would be better for the land of Sodom on judgment day than for you. And before somebody says, Pastor, I don't engage in homosexuality. When God spoke to Abraham about the coming destruction of Sodom, God said, the cries of injustice from Sodom and Gomorrah are countless, and their sin is very serious. It was more than men having sex with men. Listen to that. That statement is an example of what was common in that text. We tell other men, look, I got two daughters who are virgins. Let me bring them to you, and you can do to them whatever you wish. And take a little trip a few miles down the journey when they have escaped and the daughters made light drunk and then they raped him. It was a whole lot of mess other than homosexuality going on inside. And instead of Christians concentrating on one or two sins, we need to look at all the sins in our life. I don't want to be in worse position on judgment day than Sodom, because I refuse to acknowledge the presence of God. Oh, I think I need to take a praise break right now. But there are people who need to look back over their lives. Give God some praise. Give God some thanks for the many times the presence of Jesus has shown up in their lives and made a difference. And they fail to acknowledge the presence of Jesus. See, it didn't just happen. It wasn't just luck. You didn't do it. It was the presence of Almighty God. It was the presence of Jesus. Oh, give him some praise right now. Give him some thanks right now for all that God has done in your life. But I love how Jesus operates. He points out our shortcomings. And then Jesus shows us where we need to turn. When employment is the worst in our nation since the Great Depression of 1929, people need somewhere to turn. When COVID-19 has taken over 130,000 lives in these United States, people need somewhere to turn. When people stop using the minds that God has given us and have become so dumbed down that anything we disagree with or we cannot understand, it becomes a conspiracy or a hoax. People need somewhere to turn. And that's why Jesus lets us know who he is. He praises his Father and credits God for who God is. The Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth. See, if somebody has a connection with one who is in control of the universe, don't you think you need to make a decision to follow him? Oh, I love how Jesus took a swipe at the religious establishment. But you are hidden things from the so-called wise and intelligent. See, when you think you know it all, when you get all puffed up with your titles and positions, God will hide things from you and show them to babes in Christ. See, humble yourself and God will show you the things that God has hidden from the proud. And the decision and the connection is even more important because the Father has handed everything over to Jesus. Everything, without exception. And Jesus makes it very clear. Nobody knows the Father except the Son. And nobody knows the Father except the Son knows the Father. And anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal. And I don't know about you, but I'm asking Jesus every day, reveal God to me. But on this day, in these difficult times, when people who go crazy, people embracing ideology because it sounds good, yet it is totally against their best interest. Time when black bodies are still being killed and denied their God-given rights because of hate, our text closes with words of encouragement and invitation to connect with the divine. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads. Struggling hard in an economy that's nothing but smoke and mirrors. An economy where the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. Jesus is saying, come to me. When life has it so that you're not paid a living wage, that affordable housing is not available, and the little health care you have, certain people carry it all the way to the Supreme Court to get a portable health care overturned, Jesus is saying, come unto me. Jesus, I'm coming. Come unto me and I will give the rest for in order to even get a little bit. Too many of us have to work too hard. And because we have to work, Jesus said, put on my yoke. See, a yoke is a harness that joins one to another to get the needed work done. See, we need to put on that yoke and connect with Jesus. For the yoke of Jesus, the yoke of Jesus is easy to bear. We need to put on that yoke and work with one another. For this Christian journey is nothing that you do by yourself. We are in a Christian journey together. And everybody, I said everybody, everybody whose name on the road, you need to do something. Need to stop just coming and sitting there. Come now, watch it. Come listen. Come do something. Because God has given all of us. Jesus said, put on that yoke and yearn, learn from him. Boy, if you're going to share the empowering gospel of Jesus, and that's what we say our mission is, if you want to make your life better, you need to learn from Jesus. For as Christians, there are so many of us, we don't even know anything about our faith. Somebody asks us the question, we say, we don't want to talk about it. That ain't what Jesus wants. Jesus wants you to tell the good news. But when you decide to follow Jesus, when you truly give your life to Jesus, Jesus will deal with you just like we should deal with Jesus. What they say, Jesus is gentle and humble. We need to be gentle and humble when it comes to Jesus also. Put on the yoke of Jesus and with other Christians, and we will find rest by ourselves. We will always be catching him. We will always be the tail and never the head, because we always trying to do everything by ourselves instead of partnering with Jesus and other Christians. And contrary to what Jesus is easy to bear, and the burden of Jesus is light. The yoke of Jesus will allow you to shake off those who've been riding your back. The yoke of Jesus will allow you to stand tall. The yoke of Jesus will allow you to hold your head up and look to the hill where your help comes from. Your help comes from Almighty God. So once again, I have to ask the question, have you truly decided to follow Jesus? I hope you have. And if you haven't, the time is tough. For in this life, the road is tough. The going gets tough. And the hills are hard to climb. But I tell you, I'm so glad I started out a long time ago. And if you haven't, it's not too late for you. You can do like I do. You can decide right now. I said right now to make Jesus. I said make Jesus. Make Jesus your choice. Make Jesus your choice. Pass time being long ranger, trying to do things for yourself. Just coming to church out of tradition and seeing who's there. It's time to truly follow Jesus. In times like these, follow Jesus. Make a change in your life and a change in the world all around you. Amen. Amen. Amen.